I was talking to a pastor about funerals one time, and he said that what he liked to do was to get people's Bibles and to look and see what kind of things that they had annotated in their Bibles. And good luck with me. Is it charged? What's the password? Understand you had been studying Genesis, which I didn't check ahead of time, so what I'd like to do is to talk about forgiveness. I was talking to someone from a more evangelical denomination, and of course they don't believe in the real presence in the sacraments. And I asked, well, do you have forgiveness of sin in your service? They said, no. And my first, and I probably unkindly, but blurted out, then what's the point? Because if we are not meeting with the Lord, if we are not receiving forgiveness, then what's the point? It's just playing church. And as we heard in the sermon today, the ministry of forgiveness is given to the church. And there are millions, billions of people for whom forgiveness is just, it's off there somewhere. And so I'm kind of thinking out loud here at the moment, but it is. It has struck me that perhaps the primary reason that we don't have more people in Lutheran churches is that people just don't know what we're about. Because I often hear people talking about the Catholics and the evangelicals, but we aren't either, and we are both. And we have a vision of. Well, I am going to refer to Genesis because and I'm well could work around for it, but I was reading something about Calvinism a while back, and it strikes me that the difference between the Lutherans and the Calvinists is that Calvin's theology starts at the cross, and ours starts at creation. And do you know why that matters? Because, like I was with the, I've told this story so many times, I hope you remember it. But at one place I worked, there was diverse group of Christians in that company. We would get together once a week for sort of a Bible study. But one time I said something about the fact that Jesus is still human, and they looked at me like I was crazy. Do you understand that? Do you grasp that? We, the sinful nature, wants to keep God as far away as possible. And if we make him a spirit that's out there somewhere, then we can keep him at a distance. But if he's real, if God is one of us, if Jesus in his humanity is standing there with the Father, then that's a big deal. God created us. God created this whole world And his aim in the cross is reconciliation, that we would return to him, that all of creation would be reconciled to him again. And it will be in time. But in the meantime, this in order for us to the bridge, if you will, such as there is repentance and forgiveness. And forgiveness is such a huge deal. We were talking about this in our Bible hour at Christ a while back, that because on Monday, Thursday, we did something I'd never done before, but I'm thinking I'll probably do again, is that after the corporate confession, people came to the altar, and I forgave each one of them individually, absolved each one of them individually. And that, I think everyone there found that meaningful. But one of the things that kind of surprised me is that one of the people said about corporate absolution is that it gave her a sense, a realization that we are in this together. One of the mysteries that I keep thinking about is that we are individually in Christ, but we are corporately in Christ. So, does Christ love you? Yes. But he also, there is this concept of us as the body of Christ. We are in this together. So forgiveness is individual, and forgiveness is corporate, and both apply, both are necessary. Any thoughts?
During the sermon, he was saying that it was difficult for the people who saw Jesus after the resurrection. It was difficult for them to believe it. And you had pointed out, it was understandable that they found this unbelievable. It never happened before, ever since.
Yeah.
It's only talking about how people today have trouble, becoming fully engaged. It's not trivial. It takes a special kind of thinking and belief and faith in order to, and something I think we all have to work on, at least I do, to remind myself that,
yeah,
it's faith that makes us believe.
It is.
And a lot of people just that they don't have.
And faith is a gift, by the way. Remember. But we have a couple of issues that as difficult as it is for us to believe anyway, we live in a world that minimizes and trivializes God, but also minimizes and trivializes Satan. So is there good? Yeah, maybe. Is there evil? Yeah, maybe. But the truth is, there is good and there is evil, and they are, and the gulf is huge. But we live in a society where they get where lies abound, and we have trouble seeing the difference between good and evil sometimes.
You know, the Lord's Prayer is something that all of us and all of our kids know, and you know, you just kind of remember it if you're not careful. But also, it's very easy to only take that as an individual thing in each one of those phrases and how it pertains to us. But the first word,
our.
You try just focusing on that and take the whole direction of the prayer that you are praying as part of the church. You know, this is all in the perspective of the church. So forgive us our sins, and just what I just did, but just His grace and forgiveness flowing backwards and forwards across us. It just changes the perspective.
Yeah.
I was wondering when you were talking about that, I was at a group that said that, or the group that didn't believe in the true presence of Christ, so they didn't know forgiveness. Did they say anything about how they were saved, whether it was works or?
The conversation didn't get to that point, but having lived in that environment for many, many years, that's it's, you know, like we were talking about with the pamphlet, is that there the premise is that you're pretty much on it. There's some kind of equality between what God is and what you are, and there's just this problem of this little the gap, which somehow can be overcome.
Yeah, I've put a lot of thought into how easy it is to judge. You know, you tend to say, well, yeah, they're not doing the right thing, they're not in the point of being saved. But then I came across this passage in Scripture, Romans 10:13, that says, "Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's huge. You know,
it is.
The thief on the cross, but that's all he did. He showed some faith. That's
yeah.
That by faith he was saved. Right?
Some of you may know this already, but I don't like to refer to us as children of God. I think toddlers of God is far more apt. And we, none of us have perfect knowledge. None of us will have perfect knowledge until we see Jesus face to face. And I don't know if all of you know this, but I was raised as a Southern Baptist, and Kathy and I met in a Pentecostal house church and a few other things along the way. And there are Christians in all of those environments, and there are non-Christians in all of those environments. But anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So give people grace and tell them the truth. But one of the problems with those is that if you don't, and I was thinking and trying to remember how it came across to me as a child, but it was like, there was this constant pressure that I was not good enough for God. And I don't remember ever having anyone proclaim forgiveness to me. We were Christian. They were Christians, and it gave me a good basis in understanding the Bible. But it was, well, as I read about Luther and his struggles with his conscience, I can understand, because I know what my conscience was like, because it was like every other Sunday I was going to the altar begging for God to love me again. Because they did not proclaim forgiveness. It was about doing the right thing. And doing the right thing is the right thing. Don't get me wrong there. But as You've all been around toddlers. You know what they're like. And and still, as naughty as a toddler gets, their parents still love them. And our God still loves us. If we don't get everything right, He still loves us. He loves us enough that He carried our sins on the cross. I want you to think of that not as an abstract concept, but that when He was on the cross, He paid for every one of my sins. He knows me because He paid for every one of my sins. Think about that. And He forgives me. And so do I want to grow up and be at least a teenager of God? Yes. But in the meantime, learn, do what you can, and accept His forgiveness. And proclaim His forgiveness. I think what I was trying to get to, and I don't know if I really expressed it properly, is that the problem with that experience when I was a boy was that I was a Christian, but there was no joy in it. It always felt to me like we were singing, "Joy, joy, my heart is full of joy." Because we had this idea that there was joy, but that joy had been stolen from us because we didn't understand God's forgiveness. It may have worked as a concept, but it wasn't a feeling His hand on us saying, "I love you. Let's get in the house." Oh, sorry. But what I don't yet understand what the best way to do is that like I said, we as His church need to proclaim forgiveness to everyone who will repent. Now, there's some other steps in there too, because nobody's going to repent unless they've been convicted of their sin, and so we must proclaim the law before we can proclaim the gospel. But the forgiveness of sin is this huge, huge thing that has been lost in so much of what is Christianity.
I have a Roman Catholic friend who brought up a discussion with me regarding how a divorced person cannot receive God's gifts of the sacrament. And I just think that's so incredibly sad. Of course, I address that that's what Jesus came for the forgiveness of sins. He won't withhold these gifts from you. How does the Roman Catholic Church get away with they ask for works righteousness in a person that's been divorced? And when I told her, I said, we probably have 50 to 60% of people in my church that are divorced and are receiving God's good and gracious gifts in His blood. Body every week is not withheld. I just thought that was just incredibly sad.
It is. I talked to a man a while back. He was a lapsed Catholic, and one of his friends said, "Go to the priest and get forgiveness. Be forgiven." And he went to the priest. The priest asked him, "Was he married?" And he said, "Yeah." And the priest said, "Was it in a Catholic church?" And the guy said, "No." "Well, then I can't forgive you." All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no way around that. But, you know, one of the things about the... As I understand Catholic doctrine, they... And the reason they have their version of confession and absolution is that they believe that baptism removes original sin. And that then, after that, you're responsible for confessing every sin. Every sin that you do. Every last one. My memory's not that good.
In my experience as a Catholic, they're not really responsible for remembering everything that you may have committed, because that's, in some cases, nearly impossible. Especially if it's been a while, and even if it's been a short time, but the longer, the more difficult. You know. So, and I remember having gone to confession in the Catholic Church and having, learned about that. So, it's my experience is that not.
That's interesting. My understanding is that before the Reformation, when Luther was a young Catholic, that the priest finally said, "Don't do any confession. You've confessed enough," because he took it very seriously, and so he was there several times a day. But my point here is that I seldom listen to radio preachers, but I did once. He was talking about trust, and the thing that bothered me was I had no idea before that there is any way to turn trust into a work. But he did it. Because humans have a wonderful imagination. We can turn anything into a work, I think. But I mentioned original sin, and I can prove to you that we all, even Catholics, still carry original sin, because you're going to die. Some of the facts. And I don't think I have to tell any of you that actual sins keep plaguing us all the time. So we have to deal with both of those. And which is why forgiveness is so critical. Why it is so important. And why I'm tempted to stand on a street corner and say, "Repent and believe. And be forgiven." I don't, by the way. Yes, sir.
Do we as Lutherans have quote unquote a personal relationship with Jesus? Or is that evangelical? Personal relationship
is you hear that word in evangelical circles a lot.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting because they still then manage to keep them at a distance most of the time. It doesn't get much more personal than eating his body and drinking his blood.
But as Lutherans, we don't really talk about personal relations.
We don't talk about it, we live it.
Okay.
Because like I said, it doesn't get more... It's... again, repeating myself here. But my... one of the ways that I think about the difference between the evangelical approach to communion and ours is that their way of looking at the world is that we are the bride of Christ. So Jesus wrote us this love letter in 66 books and said, here, read this, keep the rules, I'll be back someday. And Lutherans know that we cannot be left alone that long. Which is why Jesus comes to us in the sacraments. This is why he touches us. This is why he comes to us that intimately in his flesh and in his blood. Because he knows we cannot be left alone on our own. That's why.
When you talk about the personal relationship with Christ, I emphasize that very much. Because it immediately leads you to, well, it's all about your emotions and your feelings. And when we think about relationships, ups and downs, whatever. But our relationship with Christ is based on fact, on scripture. That has to be the central part. We have emotions. God has emotions, and the Bible is very clear about that. But we rest in faith on the Word, not on, do I feel like I'm having a good day with God today? He loves me the same regardless of whether I feel like I'm having a good day or not.
Yes, it doesn't depend on our feelings, it depends on His. Yeah. They are steadfast.
I think people secular point of view, when you recognize that you do wrong things and express it and ask forgiveness, has positive impact on people. Even from the secular point of view, just recognizing this is wrong that I did and expressing it to a friend or to a family member or something like that, there's positive stuff in it. But then it goes to the end degree when you ask forgiveness for everything you've done. And yeah, things you do every day.
And we see that model in family too, that parents are their children.
Yeah.
And conversely, we see how destructive it is when parents do not forgive their children. So you see how much weight it has. I don't know if I expressed it very well to begin with, but it is the importance of starting your theology at creation is that it establishes that we are God's children. We aren't His creation. And His creation is not true. So the modern world would want us to think that this world we live in is the result of a series of accidents, which boggles my mind. It takes an awful lot of faith. But this world we live in and the way it works is not an accident. It is deliberate and it is and if you look at it closely, it means it's absolutely clear that we are God's creation. And he is our Father. And our... the only right thing to do is... No, that's... I think that often takes long, bad place. But the... that... Where we belong is with him. And it's like when children do stupid things, they have to be taught it's wrong. They may need to be punished. They need to repent. They need to be forgiven. And then they are restored to the relationship with their parents. And the same model is true for us in our relationship with God. I feel like I wandered all over everywhere here. So, think about that, how we can offer forgiveness to the world around us. We will all fail, we will all sin, but we all have a Father that loves us. And we can always go running home. And do we have any questions, comments, concerns? Let's pray. We call your Father. Sometimes I suppose it's a habit, but let's call you Father now. Because you are, because we see you that way, because we get a glimpse and understanding of how much you love us. Thank you for that. Thank you for sending your Son. Give us the strength of wisdom to proclaim you to a broken world.